Ah, you're here. Good.
A ghost couldn't dig a grave, make John strangle me to death.
Lights out, everybody.
Welcome to the Old Time Radio Cast, where we take the most terrifying tales from the golden age of radio, clean them up, and remaster them for your listening pleasure, truly preserving the very best era of audio entertainment with stories of suspense, mystery, and horror. This week we visit the Screen Director's Playhouse, a unique radio drama that performed stellar adaptations of Hollywood films, often starring some of the biggest actors and actresses of the time. Two episodes of the series always stood out to me, and really frightened me as a kid. I'm very happy to be sharing those episodes with you today. Based on two of my favorite films of that era, listen now to The Uninvited, followed by The Spiral Staircase. And make sure you track down the original films. I highly recommend them. Enjoy.
From Hollywood, the Screen Director's Playhouse. Screen Director's Playhouse, star Ray Milland, production The Uninvited, director Lewis Allen. The Hollywood Screen Directors present a tale for troubled midnights. The motion picture drama, The Uninvited, starring Ray Milland in his original role of Rick Fitzgerald.
I woke up. 5 in the morning. My skin creeping. My scalp crawling. I listened. I heard the dim surge of the ocean at the foot of the Devonshire cliffs not far from my window. Only 5 o'clock. And then... I was sure now. I hadn't dreamed that appalling crying. Could it be my sister Pamela in the next bedroom? There was no electricity in this old house. I lit a candle. I went to the door leading into the upstairs hallway.
Rick!
What? Oh, Pamela.
You heard it too, then.
What in heaven's name is it?
I don't know.
It comes from downstairs.
It comes from everywhere and nowhere.
I'm going down and search the place.
It's no use, Rick. There's never anything there.
You mean this has happened before?
All the time you were still in London while I was getting the house ready for us to live in.
But why didn't you call me or write me about it?
It's our home now. It's all we've got to live in. It sounds so terribly heartbroken.
But there must be some logical explanation.
It'll stop soon now. It always dies away at dawn.
No wonder we got the old place for such a low price. They tell me it stood empty for 10 years before... Shutter blew open.
It's the dawn breeze. I must have forgotten to latch up.
Listen.
I know. The sobbing is gone.
Oh. Is that all for tonight?
Is that all? It's every night, Rick. And if I don't get some sleep, I'll die.
No. Don't do that. It'll be different tomorrow night. You'll see. Hello.
Aren't you the gentleman who bought this house for my grandfather?
Why, yes. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Stella Meredith. It was my mother's house.
Well, come in, Stella Meredith.
Thank you. I haven't been in this house since I was 3. And I've wanted to come so many times.
Then why didn't you?
Oh, my grandfather forbids it. He has some silly idea that I'm in danger.
Nonsense. You shall see the house, Stella Meredith, and I shall be your guide.
Thank you. And this is my old nursery.
Like it?
Oh, how pretty your sister has made it.
That's very pretty perfume you're wearing.
It's mimosa. Do you like it?
Oh, very much.
My mother always used mimosa. She died when I was 3 years old.
Oh.
May I see the studio now where my father painted?
Only it's the studio where I play the piano now. You may even persuade me to play something for you.
Oh, don't stop playing, please.
Very flattering, thank you.
Father painted my mother's picture in this very room.
You don't remember that?
No. But Mother would sit on this platform wearing her soft white dress. Sometimes, of course, he'd paint the other one.
Other one?
He had a model, you know, a Spanish girl. People seem to get awfully hush-hush when I try to ask about her, though. You played beautifully.
It's a serenade to Stella by starlight.
You mean this Stella? Me?
And this candlelight.
Oh, it's the most exciting thing that has ever happened to me.
Is it?
Yes.
What's the matter?
All at once, a cold wind.
Yes, suddenly it is cold in this room.
And your music's gone so terribly sad. Why?
I don't know, it just came out that way.
And the candles grew dim.
There's a drought.
Oh, Mother was so young and beautiful and she died so cruelly. Mother!
Stella!
Mother! Mother!
Stella, come back! Stella! I gathered my scattered senses and jumped up and ran after her. I passed Pamela, standing amazed at the foot of the stairs.
Rick, what's the matter? What's happened?
There's something evil in her. Stella! But she was out the front door, her dark hair flying, running wildly in the darkness, heading for the cliffs.
Stella!
I shouted after her.
Stella, come back!
Shouted again, pleading with her.
No, Stella, no!
The cliffs, I thought.
Stella, the cliffs!
The cliffs and the boiling sea beneath.
Stella!
Whatever sinister force had driven her out of the house was now driving her to destruction on those killing rocks. The brink was only yards away, a few steps. I reached for her and my fingers caught in her belt and I pulled her back. Back from the very edge of that awful precipice. Stella.
What's the matter?
Matter? You were going over the edge.
Was I?
Why did you do it, Stella? What drove you toward death?
Death? Why, nothing. I didn't feel I was in any danger.
Look below you.
Oh, the sea.
Yes.
This is where my mother fell.
Your mother fell here?
By this dead tree. She...
Are you all right?
Help me.
Stella.
Will she be all right, Dr. Scott?
She's resting nicely upstairs, Miss Pamela.
Well, is Stella entirely safe up there alone?
Why not?
Well, in the light of what just happened.
You're the one who sneers when I say this house is haunted.
Well, everybody in the village knows the house is peculiar.
Well, can you tell us anything about it, Doctor?
Do you know about Carmel?
Carmel?
The Spanish model Stella's father painted.
Oh, yes.
Stella's father was in love with Carmel. It was an open scandal.
But didn't Mrs. Meredith know about it?
Well, I suppose she just accepted the situation.
Where's this Carmel now?
She died in this very house a week after Mary Meredith fell to her death from the cliff out there.
Oh, she did fall then.
Ironically, she fell trying to save her rival from committing suicide. Or so they say.
Rick, Dr. Scott, don't you notice a scent in the room?
No.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
It's heliotrope.
No, it's mimosa. Stella's mother was fond of it. Stella tells me that... Pam, it's come back.
What, Rick?
Upstairs. Stella's not alone anymore. I know it. Come on. Stella.
Stella, are you all right?
She's gone.
I'm here.
Stella, darling.
At the window.
Now, don't be frightened.
I'm not frightened. Don't you know who it is in your house? It's my mother.
Your mother?
Did you see her?
No. But when I woke up, I felt her in the room. Her scent, the mimosa, it was all around. I could feel her warm presence everywhere. And I felt something else. Something I've never known in my whole life. The knowledge that someone loved me very dearly.
You'd better take her home, Rick.
No. No, Mother is here. She wants me with her.
Your mother is dead, Stella.
I know.
But your grandfather will miss you. He'll be furious if he finds you here.
I know, but I love it here. I'll always come back.
Another time, Stella. Another time. Three, four, five. There it was again. Her grandfather was right. There was danger in this house for Stella. In the studio, when we'd first felt its presence, I'd not smelled mimosa. But in that moment before dawn, with that awful sorrow in the house, I suddenly knew. I knew that there was a cold, cruel spirit which hated Stella, and a warm, scented spirit that loved her. There was not one ghost.
You are listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of The Uninvited, starring Ray Milland in his original role of Rick Fitzgerald.
Pamela, I know this. Stella Meredith is in danger in this house. She mustn't come here anymore.
But she loves it, Rick. How can we possibly keep her away?
By holding a seance.
A seance?
Only this seance will be rigged. We've got to fix it so that the ghost of Mary Meredith appears to say, in effect, Stella, I'm your mother. Forget Windward House and I shall find peace and happiness. P.S., there is a tall, excruciatingly handsome man named Rick Fitzgerald who wants to marry
you. It's wrong, Rick. I won't agree to deceiving Stella.
We've got to break Stella of this attachment to the dead. We'll rig the seance. That very night, we held the seance. We all sat around a table. Stella, Pam, Dr. Scott, and I. A single candle was burning. On the table, I chalked the alphabet in a big circle and the words yes and no opposite each other. An inverted wine glass stood in the center of the table. My stage was set.
I think the room is dark enough to begin. The important thing is that we should all believe.
Yes, so I understand. Well, what now?
Everybody puts a finger on the glass. Now, ask a question, Stella.
Is there anybody here? Is anybody...
The glass is moving.
Yes. The glass is on, yes.
Go on, Stella.
Are you my mother? Yes. You don't want me to go away from Windward House, do you, Mother? They want me to stay away. Do you? Rick, let go. You're keeping the glass from moving.
I'm not.
Let go, I say.
You better let matters take their course, Fitzgerald.
All right.
No.
You see? She said no. She doesn't want me to stay away.
Look, look, the glass is moving.
I. G. U. A. Guard. I guard.
Guard me from what, Mother? What?
C. A. R. M. Carmel.
That's enough.
Who smashed the glass against the wall? You, Pamela?
No one, Rick. No one was touching it.
Stella. Stella. Stella's in a trance.
Stella!
Don't touch her. It may be dangerous.
May I ask a question?
No.
It might help to try to reach her mind. Yes, try it.
Whoever you are you Mary Meredith, Stella's mother? This is awful. I won't ask her anything else.
Es ladrón. Ladrón de mi cariño.
Is that Spanish, Scott?
I don't know.
Ladrón de mi cariño.
Stella.
She's fainted.
I'm afraid this has all been a dreadful mistake.
Oh, it was wrong. But she'll never be cured until this house is cured. Until then, Stella must never come here again.
I won't answer it.
I'll answer it. I'll go. It was Stella's grandfather, in a cold, bitter fury over her presence there and her condition.
An outrage, you hear? An outrage.
I'm very sorry, sir. It won't happen again.
I warrant you it won't. My granddaughter will never enter this house again if I have to lock her up somewhere. Come, Stella.
Stella was gone, but my work had just begun. I had to avert a tragedy. I had to solve the mystery of Windward House, but where to start? I went to see Dr. Scott.
Any luck, Fitzgerald? Find anyone with a clue to what really happened here 17 years ago?
No. Everyone who was here with the Merediths then seems to be dead.
The trained nurse isn't.
Trained nurse?
I've been looking through the old case book of my predecessor, Dr. Rudd.
No.
At the time of the tragedy, the Merediths employed a nurse for their child, a certain Miss Holloway.
Holloway?
Very, very much attached to Mary Meredith.
Well, is she alive? How can we find her?
She runs a place on Bodwin Moor called the Mary Meredith Retreat in honor of her long-dead mistress.
Hospital?
No, a mental institution. Strange woman. Strange place.
Bodwin Moor. I think I'd better have a serious talk with Miss Holloway.
I shall be happy, Mr. Fitzgerald, to assist in any way I can concerning these manifestations at Windward House.
Well, to begin with, Miss Holloway, I know about the Mary Meredith Carmel triangle 17 years ago.
Yes, it was the delight of the local gossips.
What were Mary and Carmel like?
Extraordinary women, both of them. But Mary Meredith, she was a goddess. Even her talk was lovely and sparkling. Oh, the night we sat before her fireplace, planning our lives.
Yes.
She met her humiliation and her fate magnificently.
About Carmel.
A Spanish gypsy. Beautiful and crafty and cruel.
Why did Mrs. Meredith stand for the situation?
She felt the decision to end it must come from her husband.
Did it?
Finally. To make it easier for Carmel, they took her to Paris. Found a position for her and left her there. Then they came back here with their infant daughter. For a while, they were almost happy together.
Then?
Carmel came back. She still wanted Mary's husband. Then, one stormy night, Carmel had been told that she must leave, this time for good. Oh, there was a ghastly scene, and finally Carmel, in a rage for revenge, ran to the child's room and snatched her up and ran toward the cliff. Mary raced after her. In the struggle, Mary fell to the rocks below. The baby was unharmed.
What happened to Carmel?
She escaped in the storm. Next morning, she crawled back in the early stages of pneumonia. I had to nurse her.
I see.
And now, please... I must be alone. Please.
What you tell me about Miss Holloway is very interesting, Fitzgerald.
A fanatical, a dedicated woman, Doctor.
Dr. Rudd, before me, disliked her intensely.
Professionally? Personally?
How?
Listen to this entry from Dr. Rudd's casebook for December 10th, 1932. Called to Windward House, Meredith's model, Carmel Quesada, double pneumonia.
That tallies with what Miss Holloway told me.
December 12th, Carmel Quesada much worse. No attempt to warm her room. Found traces of snow in her bedroom.
Snow?
Spoke severely to Nurse Holloway. Absolutely criminal negligence.
Well, isn't that a pretty serious charge, Doctor?
When a man of Dr. Rudd's generation used it, it was very apt to mean murder.
Miss Holloway murdered Carmel?
And she was very fond of Mary Meredith. Perhaps that's why Stella's grandfather sent her to Miss Holloway's for safekeeping this afternoon.
You mean Stella's there now? In that genteel madhouse?
Well, I venture she's safe with her mother's dearest friend.
Who was also guilty of criminal negligence? Oh, no. Dr. Scott, I must hurry. Be good enough to call my sister Pamela at Windward House. Say I'll pick her up in 15 minutes and call Miss Holloway, will you? Tell her to expect us. I'm on my way. Miss Holloway, when I was here before, why didn't you tell me that Stella was here, too?
The presence of our guests is confidential.
Please take us to her at once.
She's no longer here. I sent her away when Dr. Scott called to say you'd be here.
But why?
She was the happiest person in the world when I told her she might return to Windward House.
Windward House?
But her grandfather sent her here to keep her away from Windward House.
She loves it so.
You knew we'd be away and you sent her there?
Mary will be there.
Oh, you hate Stella. You sent her to her death.
Mary is waiting for Stella.
You're insane. Hurry, Pam. It may be too late even now. Drove headlong through the rain, racing the train to Windward House. We arrived in the early hours of the morning. The house was dark. We were on time. Stella hadn't arrived yet. And then, from the inside of the house...
It's Stella!
The front door flew open and Stella ran out, screaming fearfully, running for the cliffs.
Stella!
Come back! Something she'd seen or heard or felt in that horribly sick house of ours was sending her screaming in the darkness toward the windy cliffs. I ran after her, but she was very young and lithe, and driven by fear and drawn by demons, and I overtook her slowly, oh, so very slowly, as in a terrible nightmare. And at the very brink of the cliffs, I dove for her and flung her to the ground, the very brink of death, the very edge of darkness.
But a few bruises, Stella. You'll be fine.
Dr. Scott, Rick, why would my own mother want to drive me to my death?
Darling, whatever drove you from this house couldn't have been your mother.
But it was. I saw her. It was a kind of a mist that glowed softly in the dark, coming toward me, just as my father painted her.
Then why did you run away?
I don't know. Something terrified me, drew me to the cliff.
Could the company endure one more excerpt from the casebook of Dr. Rudd? It's rather worthwhile.
You've the air of a man with knowledge, Scott.
This entry is dated a little more than 3 years before the final tragedy on the cliff. Meredith consultation, my office. Mrs. Meredith afraid she is going to have a child. Assured her she was not. A strange, cold, loveless woman refusing motherhood.
But...
Meredith, poor man... Wanting a child so desperately.
But there's Stella.
Now, listen. An extraordinary household. Carmel, the Spanish girl, worships Meredith. A lovely, pitiful creature, all love and womanhood.
Pitiful?
What does it all mean?
I don't understand.
Stella, where were you born?
In Paris.
Where they took Carmel. They came back with their baby, or at any rate, someone's baby.
Rick.
The Meredith stayed in Paris for a baby to be born, yes. But I think to Carmel, not Mary. They took the baby as their own to avoid a scandal. That's why Carmel came back, to be near her baby, near Stella.
Then it was Mary Meredith who hated Stella, her rival's child.
Mary Meredith, who tried to throw the baby from the cliff and fell to her death.
And that's what Carmel waited here to tell me all these years. That she was my mother, not Mary Meredith. I'm Carmel's daughter.
Rick, the mimosa.
She's here.
Oh, Mother, Mother, never weep again, because now I know. Never cry again in this house where father loved you. Carmel, mother. She's happy. Mother's happy. She's at peace at last.
Rick, look.
That's the mist I saw.
Mary Meredith. Dr. Scott, Pamela, get Stella out of here. I was alone. Alone with the thing that drifted and floated in menacing, gesturing filaments in the open French doors. A luminous mist becoming a face that undulated horribly. A face filled with hatred and malevolence. And I lifted the candelabrum with its flickering, guttering candles. Come on, you icy fraud. If it's Stella you want, you're too late, Mary Meredith. You've tried enough to destroy Carmel's child. So much for the legend of your saintliness, and you can go along with it. Here, darling.
Oh, are you all right?
All right? I am magnificent.
It's so dark, darling.
Never brighter.
Mary Meredith.
Gone forever.
Oh, and I always thought she was my mother.
What? Good saints preserve me from ghosties and ghoulies and long-legged beasties and a future mother-in-law like that.
Dreamland will return in just a moment. Next week, as always, another great star recreates one of her most memorable roles on Screen Director's Playhouse. Our story is The Spiral Staircase, and our star, Dorothy McGuire, with Screen Director Robert C. Odnak. Now, here again is tonight's star, Ray Milland.
Thank you. The film version of The Uninvited was distinguished by ghosts, gasps, moans, groans, and a very brilliant gent named Lewis Allen. Lou directed the picture, furnishing the assorted horrors out of his bag of tricks. Since then, we've done three other films together, and his amazing know-how still has me fascinated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet him. My director, Lewis Allen.
I hardly think I deserve those compliments.
Why not?
Well, The Uninvited was the first picture I ever directed.
But, Lou, you'd been directing stage plays for years.
But when I sat behind those cameras for the first time, I was as scared as the audiences who saw the picture.
Well, how do you feel about cameras after all the pictures you've made since then?
They still scare me.
You know what?
What?
They scare me, too.
Well, at least we weren't scared of the ghosts and The Uninvited.
You know, Lou, you made everything so real for a while, I almost believed in them myself.
But, Ray, there's no such thing as ghosts.
Lou.
Yes, Ray?
What did you just say about ghosts?
I'd rather not talk about it. Good night, Ray.
Good night, Lou. Good night, everyone.
And good night to you, Ray Milland and Lewis Allen. Remember next week, Dorothy McGuire and Robert C. Odnak. The Uninvited was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose current release is the William Wyler production, The Heiress, starring Olivia de Havilland, Montgomery Clift, and Ralph Richardson. Ray Milland will soon be seen in the Paramount picture, Copper Canyon. Lewis Allen's current production for Paramount is Chicago Deadline. Included in tonight's cast were Alma Lawton as Stella, Norman Field, Mary Shipp, John Daner, Georgia Backus, June Foray, and Dan Riss. The Uninvited was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley, with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. Portions of the program were transcribed. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking, inviting you to listen again at the same time next week when we present
Screen Director's Playhouse, star Dorothy McGuire, production Spiral Staircase, director Robert Siodmak.
Sunday on Hollywood Calling, you may be called by motion picture stars Maureen O'Hara and Dan Daly to win a wonderful prize and crack the Film of Fortune jackpot. Make a note to stick close to your radio and your telephone Sunday for Hollywood Calling. It might be your lucky day. Listen to Hollywood Calling Sunday on NBC.
Stay tuned for Bill Stern and the Sports Newsreel on NBC.
From Hollywood, the Screen Director's Playhouse. Screen Director's Playhouse, star Dorothy McGuire, production Spiral Staircase, director Robert Siodmak. The Hollywood Screen Directors present a play on silent words. The motion picture drama, Spiral Staircase, starring Dorothy McGuire in her original role of Helen.
Helen, Sunday school is all right, but I wish they'd treat us like women. My golly.
They make us skip the Book of Ruth and the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's.
Especially that. My golly, it's in the Bible.
Oh, it's beautiful. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone.
What's wrong with that, I'd like to know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And St. Elmo. What's wrong reading St. Elmo? Now, if you ask me, I think that the... My golly, a fire on Sunday?
Yes.
Let's follow it, Helen. Run!
Whenever I tried, I'd hear my mother's voice again. My mother, who had died in the fire, saying,
hush, child. Hush.
I could make people understand me with simple signs, a nod, a shake of my head, pad and pencil. Later, I left my hometown to take domestic work with the Warren family, Professor Albert Warren, his half-brother Stephen, and his stepmother, Mrs. Warren. It was all I wanted. Then, one Friday evening, I was coming home from the village where I'd gone to see that newfangled amusement motion pictures. It was a bleak November dusk, and there'd been some mysterious excitement in town. Something quite terrible. I didn't know what.
Ellen? Oh. Ellen, is that you in the road?
Oh, it's Dr. Perry. It's the young doctor who likes me, I think.
Ellen? Oh, it is you.
Nod and smile, Helen, as though you could speak, but choose to nod and smile as ladies do, by choice.
It's good to see you smile. Well, hop in, and I'll drive you right onto the Warren's Gatehouse. Here's a hand.
Yep, you go.
There. Yep, Gillen. Well, I've missed you, Helen. How have you been, Helen?
Smile and nod. Good.
Good.
Oh, he's missed me, he says.
It wasn't a very nice thing happened in town on your day off.
Oh, what was it, I wonder?
Young woman, rather pretty young cripple, was murdered. Do you know that?
Another one.
And I'm telling you because I want you to be very careful about going out after nightfall, that's all.
Oh, he's kind. Could he really like me?
Now tell me, how much longer are you going to stay on at the Warrens?
I know what he means.
You know, you've got to make an effort to get back your voice, Helen.
Oh, he mustn't.
Oh, I know. Much rather I wouldn't talk about it.
I would rather.
Not that there isn't a certain beauty and grace in your stillness. You're not mute. You're still, but somehow eloquent.
Oh, I love him so.
And everything you think is in your eyes, Helen. Good night, Helen. Be careful.
Only a few more yards to the house. Rattle a stick on the picket fence. My kind of whistling in the dark. Crippled girl murdered. Why? Who? Faster. Faster. Run.
Oh, it's you, Helen.
Professor Warren. He looks worried or angry.
I'm glad you're here, Helen. I wonder if you'll go up to see my stepmother. She's feeling worse again. Thank you, Helen. Thank you.
Where have you been, Helen? It's late.
She never remembers. My night out.
Oh, put that eternal pencil and pad away. Never mind.
She's ill. She doesn't mean to hurt.
I hoped you were never coming back tonight.
Why? What can she mean?
Helen, run away. If you know what's good for you, run away.
What's she saying?
Leave this house tonight.
Helen, mother.
Oh, don't call me mother, Albert.
The most shocking thing has happened in town.
There's been another murder.
Why, how would you know?
Yes, how?
How do you know, Albert?
Well, the constable was just here. Very curious. I'm mentioning this in Helen's presence for good reasons. Every one of those murdered girls had some kind of affliction.
Affliction?
Yes, the servant girl had a bad scar. Second one was wrong in the head.
This one limped.
Albert, where is Stephen?
Stephen?
Has Stephen come in yet?
Why?
Answer me.
No. Why?
Because... There's the... rain. He'll be drenched. That's why.
I want Helen to be especially careful for the next few days.
He's good, too. Kind and thoughtful and good.
Helen, if you see anything at all outside this house that makes you suspicious, I want you to tell me.
Yes, not yes. Thank you.
I have some dictation to give Blanche on my book. Remember what I told you, Helen. And don't trust anyone.
Helen, pack your things and leave.
Leave? No. Why? Where? No.
Shake your head off if you like, but leave tomorrow. Meanwhile, there's a gun in my dresser.
No, I'm afraid of guns.
Oh, stop shaking your head at me, girl. Stop contradicting me. You're in danger here. Do you want...
It's an attack.
Dr. Perry. Get me, Dr. Perry. Hurry. Stephen?
Yes, Mother. I just got in.
Drenched. His shoes coated with mud.
Where's Dr. Perry?
On the way, Mother.
There's been another murder.
Oh, has there?
Oh, why didn't you stay in Paris?
Don't you want me with you, Mother?
Where were you tonight?
If you must know...
I must know, yes.
She knows something.
I was out walking with Blanche.
No.
Blanche, Professor Warren's secretary. They both left.
I think the professor will want to talk to you, Stephen.
About the murder?
Why, no, Stephen. About Blanche, his secretary.
Very well, Mother.
It's quiet now. We're waiting for Dr. Perry to arrive. Quiet now, but the professor and Stephen have had a dreadful quarrel about Blanche. She's very pretty and no afflictions, and so men quarrel over her. Stephen and the professor hate each other, and it's so terrible. Both, after all, had the same father. Dr. Perry!
You know, Dr. Perry, you look a little like my husband.
Oh, really, Mrs. Warren?
Yes.
Was he kind, too?
He
her husband?
Sure step,
gentle and kind to girls with afflictions.
Well, I'm flattered. Thank you.
He always told me I wasn't as beautiful as his first wife, but that I was a much better shot.
Oh. He has a gun in this very room.
Yes, the beauty my husband admired was the beauty of strength and of character. And both of his sons were weaklings. Stephen and the professor.
I'm weak, too. Afflicted.
Dr. Perry, you love Helen.
Mrs. Warren.
If you love her, and I know you do, get her out of this house.
Now, you're upsetting yourself again.
Get her out of this house while there's still time. Do you hear me? Do you? Do you? Do you?
Helen. Helen, brandy. Quickly.
Brandy, brandy. I've looked everywhere. None. None in the pantry. None in the closet. I'll run into the study to find Professor Warren. Brandy, brandy.
Write it out, Helen, will you?
Yes. B-R-A-N-D.
Brandy.
Yes, brandy, yes.
I'll have to fetch a bottle from the cellar. Get Mrs. Oates out of the kitchen. Tell her to come with me and bring a candle. Hurry, girl.
Warren is resting again. Mrs. Oates is back in the kitchen in a stupor from the brandy she managed to steal when she went down into the wine cellar with Professor Warren. Blanche stays in her room. I wait in the parlor while Dr. Perry gives Professor Warren some instructions.
Helen.
Oh, Dr. Perry, looking so very tired.
I want to talk to you,
Helen. Oh, he mustn't apologize.
Here, sit next to me here.
Oh, he mustn't try to explain that it was Mrs. Warren and not he who said he loves me. I understand.
I've been thinking things over, Helen. Mrs. Warren is right.
He says Mrs. Warren is right.
You should come away with me tonight.
Oh, he does love
me. You can stay at my mother's house until I take you to Boston to see a specialist.
Oh, afflicted.
Helen, the Fabers on Pepper Street have an out-of-town guest, Betty Lindstrom.
Betty Lindstrom.
She went to Sunday school with you years ago.
Sunday school. Betty Lindstrom.
She tells a story about a young girl walking home from Sunday school one day.
No.
And when she wasn't far from home, she heard a fire engine rushing down the street. It was her own home, wrapped in flames, her mother and father trapped inside. She tried to scream.
Mother!
Scream, Helen.
I can't.
Scream.
Can't.
Try.
I'm trying.
Why?
Trying. Trying. Trying!
Shh.
Yes, Mother.
Hush.
Yes.
Helen, you can speak. Speak! Helen. Helen, I'm sorry.
I
was trying to help you.
I know. He's so good.
Oh, that must be for me, Helen. I left this number with the Wilsons. Their boy is very sick. Here, I'll write the Wilson telephone number on your notepad. 189.
189.
Yes, and have Mrs. Oates call me there if you need me. Now, if you'll go to the door with me, I'll take it as a sign that you forgive me.
Oh, it's a wretched night. But the rain's over.
Nod, yes.
Smile, Ellen, please.
Smile.
That's better. Thank you.
Thank me.
Now, be sure and lock the door, won't you? And don't open it for anyone but me.
But before he went...
Good night, Ellen.
He kissed me. He kissed me. He wants me to come away with him. He kissed me. How was it long ago, in the Bible, in the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, my beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. For lo, the winter is past.
It's a wretched night. But the rain's over.
The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing is come.
Arise, my love, and let me see thy countenance.
He loves me.
Let me see thy countenance.
He loves me.
Let me hear thy voice.
Voice.
For sweet, sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely.
Voice.
Let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice.
Hush, daughter. Hush. Hush.
You are listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of The Spiral Staircase, starring Dorothy McGuire in her original role of Helen, the mute girl, and John Daner as Dr. Perry.
Dr. Perry has been gone almost an hour, and now a second bitter quarrel in the house. Stephen in Blanche's room next to mine, raising their voices.
Stephen,
Blanche crying, Stephen taunting her, laughing at her.
You in my room, especially the professor.
Crying, my dear Blanche, makes no impression on me whatever. I like to see women cry. It makes me feel so superior.
I'm not going on with you anymore, Stephen. We can't hide our feelings from the professor any longer.
And just why should we hide our feelings from my stepbrother? Oh, I forget you did have a certain interest in him.
You are a pig.
Now, Blanche.
Get out. I'm leaving tonight. The better to wash my hands of you.
As you wish, Blanche. But you'll regret this. I honestly think you're going to regret this most seriously.
Blanche has left her room and gone down to get her suitcases out of the cellar. I'd be afraid to go down there alone. It's very dark in the cellar. There's a spiral staircase that goes round and round into the dust and the damp and the darkness, round and round into darkness.
Oh, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, Helen. Do you know where Blanche is?
Blanche. Isn't she up from the cellar yet?
Helen, I'm speaking to you. Will you please find Blanche? I want her to take some dictation in my study. At once.
The spiral staircase. Going round and round. Down into darkness. Into the dark. The damp. The shadows. Blanche. Where's Blanche? It's been almost an hour. Yes, Nod, yes, yes, yes,
all
dead,
right.
Yes.
All right. You gotta let me handle this, Helen. Do you understand what I mean?
I could dash for the door.
Helen, answer me. Do you understand what I say?
Dash for the door. Open it. Slam it. Bolt it outside.
Helen! Helen! Helen!
Helen, what happened? You're terrified.
Pencil, lost pencil, pencil.
Are you trying to... Pencil? You're right.
Right. Yes, right.
Blanche?
Yes. M-U-R-D-E-R.
Helen, in heaven's name, are you... Do you know who did it?
S-D-E-P-H-E.
Stephen?
Yes.
Of course.
Why does he say of course?
Helen, where is Stephen now?
Locked in cellar.
Oh. Helen.
Why does he look at me like that?
Helen, look there in the mirror.
Mirror?
Go on, look at yourself, Helen.
Why does he do this?
You see, Helen, you have no mouth.
No mouth? I know what he means, but why should he say it so cruelly?
No mouth, Helen. And in all this world, there's no room for imperfection.
He's so strange.
We're alone, Helen. Mrs. Oates is very drunk because I purposely let her steal a bottle of brandy when we went downstairs before. My stepmother is helpless in her bed. You have just locked Stephen in a cellar. Blanche is dead.
He is the killer.
Blanche, whom I loved and who betrayed me with Stephen, is dead. Or I killed her.
He's mad.
What a pity Father didn't live to see me become strong, to see me dispose of the weak and the imperfect in this world.
Escape.
I put on these leather
gloves. Escape. Where?
Father would admire me for what I'm about to do.
I know. The gun. The gun in Mrs. Warren's room. Escape. Not so imperfect as he thinks. I run like the wind, climb the stairs to Mrs. Warren's room like a cat, slam the door and bolt it in his face. Gun, pad and pencil, right, gun. Wake up, Mrs. Warren. Wake up. Oh, please wake up. Her eyes are opening. Now, read. Gun, the gun. Where is the gun?
Gun? What gun?
Helen!
She knows where the gun is. She must know.
Helen!
It's no use. She's drugged or poisoned. Someone at the door downstairs. Someone's outside. The professor will have to answer. And then I can steal downstairs again, down the spiral staircase. Free Stephen. Get Stephen to help me. Yes. Round and down. Down and round. Into the darkness. Into the shadows. Softly, softly. A foot. I saw a shoe draw back into the shadows under the last spiral. The professor, waiting. Turn. Softly. Go back. Softly. Step. 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 And run!
Helen!
God, Mrs. Warren, at the top of the steps.
Stop where you are.
Mrs. Warren.
Mother. Both of you.
She has the gun. Why does she point it at both of us?
Mother.
No, only your stepmother, whom your father always taught never to waste a single shot. You murderer. It was you who killed all those girls. I thought it was Stephen. You always waited until Stephen came home to cast suspicion on him. Never waste a shot. Your father taught me. Never a shot. Helen, girl. Better get me Dr. Parry.
Hush, daughter. Hush.
Number, please.
You see, Helen, you have no mouth.
You must leave this house, Helen.
Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice.
Number, please.
You have no mouth. Let me hear thy voice.
Number, please.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Number, please. Number, please.
One. Eight. Nine.
Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Dr. Perry?
This is Dr. Perry. Who is this?
It's... me.
Who?
Helen.
Helen. Oh, Helen, darling, what's happened? What? Wait, let me run over.
Darling. He said, darling. My beloved spoke and said unto me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Arise, and let me hear thy voice.
Dorothy McGuire will return in just a moment. Next week, as always, another great star repeats a brilliant performance on Screen Director's Playhouse. Our story is All My Sons, and recreating his original role will be Edward G. Robinson with Screen Director Irving Reese. Now, here again is tonight's star, Dorothy McGuire.
Thank you so much. The part of the mute girl in the picture Spiral Staircase was a pretty frightening assignment until I found out my director was to be Robert Siodmak. Robert is a kind of super-talented elf who directs his pictures with a magnificent mixture of skill and gaiety. As a result, he says he has only one regret about Spiral Staircase. The studio wouldn't let him slide down the banister. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet Robert Siodmak.
Thank you, Dorothy. But after listening to Spiral Staircase tonight, I must make a confession.
About what, Robert?
Well, I thought it would be impossible to do a radio drama in which the central character was a girl without a voice. But it was done beautifully.
Well, thank you. My part was a little larger than the three or four lines I had in the picture.
Mm-hmm. This picture business. You know, before Spiral Staircase, a producer said to me, Robert, what do you think of Dorothy McGuire? She's wonderful, I told him. She has the most magnificent voice. And he said, that's fine. We put her in a picture with nothing to say. Well, you know how producers behave sometimes.
And, Robert, I loved every minute of it.
Well, next time they ask me about Dorothy McGuire, I won't mention your voice. I say she's so beautiful and a great dramatic actress. Well, then they probably tell me to direct you in The Invisible Woman.
Just so you don't play the part of an invisible director, Robert. And seeing you behind those cameras again is something I'm looking forward to.
Well, I know I'm a beauty. Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you, Robert. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And good night to you, Dorothy McGuire and Robert Siodmak. Remember next week, Edward G. Robinson and Irving Reese with Jeff Chandler. Spiral Staircase was presented through the courtesy of RKO Radio Pictures, producers of that hilarious comedy Bride for Sale, starring Claudette Colbert, Robert Young, and George Brett. Dorothy McGuire will soon be seen as the star of the 20th Century Fox production, Oh Doctor. Robert Siodmak's latest production for Universal International Pictures is Deported, starring Marta Torin and Jeff Chandler. Included in tonight's cast were John Daner, Stephen Dunn, Georgia Backus, David Ellis, Jane Webb, Betty Moran, Jane Morgan, and Dan Riss. Spiral Staircase, based on a novel by Ethel Lena White, was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen again next week when we present
Screen Directors Playhouse, star Edward G. Robinson, production All My Sons, director Irving Reese.
What's on NBC Sunday? Sunday on Hollywood Calling. You may be called by motion picture stars June Haver and Richard Widmark to win a wonderful prize and crack the Film of Fortune jackpot. Make a note to stick close to your radio and your telephone Sunday for Hollywood Calling. It might be your lucky day. So listen to Hollywood Calling Sunday on NBC.
Stay tuned for Bill Stern and the Sports Newsreel on NBC.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our original storytelling podcasts and for all things suspense, horror, and weird, check out CrypticCountyPodcasts.com, where you'll find shows like Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, and Odd Trails, a true paranormal podcast. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.